There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
Good evening. You're listening to the Business Breakfast Nightcap. I'm Brandy Scott. Coming up, is Jetix still the place to score a computer bargain? That's what we'll find out from Ashish Panjabi of Jackie's. And should your company be providing you with posh barista-made coffee in order to boost productivity and hopefully keep everyone in the office a little bit longer? But first, we're going to ask one of the world's biggest trade show organisers, Messe Frankfurt, whether or not we're seeing less people turn up at big shows.
The big Frankfurt Motor Show starts today, but with fewer exhibitors. Many of the big car companies will be absent, from Nissan, Renault, Mitsubishi, Fiat Chrysler and Peugeot to Toyota, JLR, Tesla and Hyundai. They're all going to be missing. 1,000 exhibitors at the last exhibition a couple of years ago. It's a biennial thing. The biggest in the world, 800 at this year's. It's down 20%. What's the reason?
I think it's a reflection of where the motor industry is. It's going through a terrific amount of change. Whether you look from the retail sector here, car sales generally are down around the world. There's a disruptive element happening within the car industry. People are beginning to move towards alternative sources. E-vehicles are a classic case. And I think the days of the static motor show are limited. They're moving on.
But we've seen some of the biggest watch manufacturers, for instance, skipping the Bâle watch fair. Haute couture fashion names are skipping the big shows because the internet means that fashion travels faster than the companies can produce the garments. How much do you think this is a trend away from the big shows, that people are skipping them?
I think people now have access to information and demand a speed of information differently. And I think the days of a mass gathering of an event which was the only place you could see new innovation, new product is developing. And I think organisers around the world recognise that, and the ones that are ahead of the curve are realising that the days of the old static display at an event is not what people want. They want much more engaged experience. And they still offer a very, very unique perspective. If you look at most of these major events, they're typically the largest single gathering of their industry at a single point in time. And there's a lot that you can do with that opportunity if, as an organiser, you're alert to that opportunity.
But they are expensive to attend. I mean, have you any idea how much the average, for instance, at the German Motor Show, or one of these big fairs, how much the average exhibitor has to spend to take space, to put all their stuff in there and all the people? Do you know how much it costs them?
It's a significant investment, but I think it depends on their brand presence. Mm-hmm. So certain brands will demand a certain level of presence. Other shows maybe are other organisers perhaps take it a little bit less on cost. Yeah. There's no definitive answer to that question.
We're not obviously talking about the German car show just because it's going to be a German car show this year. It's potentially a big deal because cities around the world, such as Dubai, that are popular for exhibitions, are beginning to cash in big time in the MICE industry. We get a lot of people coming in, fills up hotels, the organisers get involved at local level, restaurants, retail, all benefits. Allied Market Research 18 months ago valued the MICE industry at $752 billion. That was in 2016. But they projected it to reach $1.2 trillion by 2023. Do you think that the market has flattened since that research in the light of trade wars, geopolitical tensions, weakened global mood?
I think it has flattened a little bit, yeah. But I think it's not. There's just a different interpretation on what people expect from events. The days of the old static event have changed. And organisers have a responsibility to ensure that the event that you're hosting gives something beyond just simply looking at a static product. It's about engagement, it's about education, it's about delivering an experience, which, you know, although information flows through the internet and we have instant access to almost anything we need on our phones, that face-to-face connection still lies at the very heart of our industry. And providing an organiser is recognising that and changing and developing, the industry is still in a very, very healthy place.
So how does an organiser actually do that? I mean, we've seen the advent of smart badges and downloadable apps. What actually works and what actually gets used?
I think it's a combination. I think it's a combination of education. It's a combination of entertainment. Very good mentor of mine many years ago once said to me, you know, you're in the show business. You've got to put on a show. You need to put on something that people will talk about as they leave an event that's been engaging for them. And engagement is often at very different levels. It's not just about seeing a new product. And if you look at, again, most event research, it's all about finding innovation, finding that new product. But it's equally about connection. It's about bumping into old colleagues. It's about networking with a distributor group that maybe you've come together at that specific event. Maybe it's about education. Maybe it's a conference. The point about connecting to the right people. I think events in the past have had a certain chaos theory about them, which is you can go to a show and you can know that there's 1,000 people there that you really, really would like to get hold of. But how do you find them in a group of 50,000 people? And maybe you bump into them in a cafe. Maybe you bump into them on somebody's exhibition stand. But nowadays, with technology, we have the ability to target and identify people and just make it much more efficient and clean.
What you're saying is that people need to give a better experience. Do you think it's going to, in the future, become more expensive then because you're looking for new tech ways, a much greater exposure to impress people at these shows? Do you think it's going to get more expensive for exhibitors?
No, I don't think it's about putting more cost on. I think it's about improving the efficiency. And again, if you look at the models in the past, it's always been about numbers and about volume. Whereas I think in the future, it needs to be about efficiency. It's about providing a service to the visitor and the exhibitor that can connect quickly and efficiently and see a benefit to their business, whether that benefit is a financial benefit or whether that is through connections or product development or feedback and research. There are lots of different means with which people see a return on their investment. So I think increasing the cost is probably not a sensible option for most organisers. They should be looking at finding a way to connect better with those that are attending.
Well, Simon, thank you very much for your time. Simon Meller, CEO of Messe Frankfurt Middle East. We appreciate your time. Thank you.
The Business Breakfast Nightcap.
On Dubai Eye 103.8.
Good evening. You're listening to The Business Breakfast Nightcap. I'm Brandy Scott. We are very pleased to be joined on the line now by Ashish Panjabi, the COO of Jackies, because Jitex Shopper starts in just around 2 weeks. Starts on the 24th of September. And we're asking whether or not Jitex, or Jitex, depending which side of that particular fence you fall on, is the place to go for an electronics bargain. Ashish, thanks for joining us. You were just telling us that what you're likely to find is the new releases.
Yeah, I mean, this is typically when a lot of the manufacturers come out with a lot of the new product launches, and this is typically the season as well when a lot of gifting tends to happen. And so the combination of the two things put together is typically what sort of is, as you could say, Black Friday in the US. It sort of kicks off the season, then you get a big bang, you get some offers on a Black Friday, and then things sort of continue on through the year towards the end. And this is what happens here with Jitex Shop as well, because if you think about it, we've got Diwali, we've got various other gifting seasons that start to come up on us, and it fits in quite nicely with the new releases.
But do you get stuff cheaper? Because that's always been the Jitex thing, hasn't it? How much leeway do retailers actually have to discount further for Jitex?
So most people do have extra budgets during that time from the manufacturers and from the retailers that they actually plow into the products and the pricing and the promotions that happen over there. And it's the same thing you see as well now with a lot of the manufacturers when they have new launches with smartphones and things of that type. They do have promotion offers in the beginning, just to get the early birds out there, just to get the product out there. And you see the same thing in other markets as well. So the reason why Black Friday is as big as it is in the US is there are deals you're going to get on a Black Friday that you're not going to get a week later over there. And it's the same thing with Jitex Shopper over here.
How much of it is the hype as well, though? You know, you're in the hall, you're probably not going to come back the next day. There's a load of people around you all trying to get the same best deal. I mean, it's ripe for impulse purchase, isn't it?
Well, it's perfect for that. But it's also sort of what I grew up on. We were a culture which grew up around the souk, where you could bargain and you could look around and you could go from shop to shop and sort of do that. And here you do that in an air-conditioned venue. And it's that whole adrenaline rush of walking through the hall, comparing retailer to retailer, holding one up against the other and saying, I'm getting this bargain there, what can you do for me over here? And you see everyone react and respond.
Ashish, good morning. It's Malcolm here.
Morning, Malcolm.
We saw the Apple iPhone launch a couple of days ago. The prices seem to be flattish. In fact, the bottom end came down, although the top end still went up. Are we reaching some sort of plateau in the price of electronics products, do you think? The global mood is not such that people can put prices up massively when there's new launches?
Well, I mean, the pricing models have changed quite a bit over the years. And if you look at it, I think at the premium end, the pricing had gone up quite a bit in the last few years. Now, it's obviously to stage that if people have to start replacing products more often, that there is only going to be so much that they can pay for it. But what you also start to see at the same time is a lot more of the trade-in type deals happening, where literally every brand you talk of comes in and says, on a new launch, we recognize you bought this last year. You're not going to want to pay the same amount this year, and this is the trade-in offer we can do. And I think this is becoming increasingly more popular over here, where people are starting to swap back old devices and get new devices.
Is it also true that, of course, the providers, people like Apple, etc., are making more money from in-app purchases from their the iTunes store, etc., therefore they can accept that they'll make a little bit less on the handsets itself?
So I guess that's only true in the case of Apple, because on the Android front, all the others aren't getting that benefit. That goes to Google, so a Samsung, a Huawei, or anyone else wouldn't have that. So the handset manufacturers in general have to make the money off the phone itself. In the case of Apple, they would probably be the only exception, but they're at the premium end of the market.
So what's the buzz going to be around this year, Ashish? Obviously, we've just seen the new iPhone 11 announced. I don't know if it's going to be ready in 2 weeks for Gitek Shopper. What's going to be the biggest, the newest, and the greatest?
So definitely it's a smartphone category. I think that continues to dominate. We've seen things from Apple, but we've also seen the Samsung Galaxy Note 10 get launched. So we should see a lot of activity on that. And it's also a stage where when you've got a transition, you also start to see some of the other devices with price drops in the meantime. So you could imagine the previous generation devices now going through a price adjustment, and you get those bargains as well at that time. Tablets, PCs, this always tends to be a big category, and I think there's a lot more emphasis as well in the gaming categories at the moment, and I think that's something that's quite popular generally during the gifting season as well.
How up to date are we, Ashish? I know you used to go a lot to the old Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas at the beginning of the year. Are we now getting the things that were launched then, or have we got to wait till next year for those?
No, so I think we are considered a tier one market generally across the board in most categories. I know it even in the television space. If I take the 8K TVs and speaking to some of the manufacturers, we have got some of the highest penetration rates in terms of percentage of sales of the latest generation products over here. And I think there is more and more recognition of that this is a savvy place. This is an influencing market and a market you need to be in if you want to grow into the other markets. And then I think this has, again, been one of the strengths of the UAE and Dubai in general.
Final question from me, Ashish. 2 weeks out from Gitek Shopper, what does the savvy would-be shopper need to do now? How do you prepare yourself?
So I guess the most important thing is to start doing your research in terms of looking at what you want to buy, because once you're in there, it is going to be a lot more difficult to sit and understand features and specs and get into that, especially as it gets into the last couple of days of Gitek Shopper. It is going to be madness. It is going to be busy. The other thing is also sort of planning how you're going to get there. We've got the metro, which comes into the Sheikh Zayed Hall, which is right next to the venue. And I think that's the easy way in, and being able to plan yourself for it.
Ashish Panjabi, COO of Jackie's and a big electronics store, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
The Business Breakfast Nightcap
on Dubai Eye 103.8.
Good evening. You're listening to the Business Breakfast Nightcap. I'm Brandy Scott. We are discussing coffee because the FT has a report out which claims that fancy coffee is now a must-have office perk. They say that high street cafe culture has got to the point that staff now expect barista-made lattes at work. There's an awful lot of research out there which suggests that it increases productivity. There's some research out of Hong Kong suggesting that actually all drinking an iced coffee together promotes team building and camaraderie in the office. And we're speaking now to one company that's gone a step further than just having a nice machine in the corner. Chris Shoetrips is the Managing Director of Mortgage Finder. Chris, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
What have you guys done?
So we're part of the Property Finder Group. In our HQ, we actually have our own barista, Alvin, who makes a selection of amazing coffees from a menu.
So Elvin just works for you guys.
He does,
company barista.
That's it. So he is there just to, we have a couple of hundred staff out of the UAE, and he's there to make sure that we're all kept perked up with coffee.
Why did Property Finder stroke Mortgage Finder decide that it needed its own barista?
So my boss, Michael, who's the CEO, explained this to me once. We're in one of the many large tower blocks in Dubai, and one of the biggest challenges we face is if someone wants to go down in the lifts at lunchtime, it can take 15, 20 minutes to get up and down. And if you imagine how many cups of coffee people drink, that's quite a lot of productivity that's lost. So actually, by having the barista in the office, you don't lose the people going up and down in the lifts. And hopefully, obviously, as you say, it's a great staff incentive, but hopefully it increases overall productivity.
Have you done anything to sort of combat people going out for cigarettes and smoking? Because it's the same sort of argument in many ways.
It's a great point. Yeah, it's really good. We haven't. I actually, from my days in the UK, I saw a business who used to give people an extra week's holiday if they didn't smoke. And the logic behind that was that the cigarette breaks used to take, if you added a year's worth of cigarettes breaks, they estimated it'd be about 5 days of work. So they give them a whole week off. So I have seen it around the world. Property Finder, I would say our team are pretty good at not taking it too far.
So it must be quite expensive buying all the equipment for the barista. And does he go behind and go when he's making a cappuccino and things like that?
It's all properly done. I suppose, again, it's as a business you're looking at recruiting the right talent. We have a pantry that has like Xboxes and snooker tables. And so, you know, half of our team are tech. A fair amount would, I would say, be millennials. And so, as you say, if you look at companies like WeWork, the one of the world's largest office service providers, you know, that's where they sort of put their selling point is, you know, really nice offices, really fancy coffee and really cool place to work.
So even if only half your staff drank coffee, if you've got a couple of hundred, so 100 people drank coffee, maybe they go out for one a day, which feels to me to be conservative. You have just saved 100 hours of 50 to 60 hours of work time with them not disappearing.
Completely. And I probably have 5 coffees myself a day. So, you know, it really is. I think it makes a really big difference. And as I say, it really makes people feel valued, I think.
Who pays for the coffee? Do the staff, if I've got a 5 flat white a day habit, am I paying for that?
No, the business pays for it. So it's paid for. The coffees are free. We welcome a lot of guests into our office as well. So it's good for the employees. It's a very good image and for our visitors who come and visit, who come from a wide range of different businesses. It's included in the cost of employment, I would say. We factor that in as a general overhead of the business.
Do you know of anyone who's just taking the Mickey a little bit? Do you know what I mean? There's coffee consumption and then there's like slow down.
I have a couple of colleagues that I look at by 12 o'clock and think they probably should slow down, with the shakes. But no, I think the novelty wears off for people as well. You know, the coming in and having 10 lattes a day would not be great for your health either, for your weight. So I think most people limit themselves realistically, but it's a good perk.
I was lucky enough to go to Microsoft headquarters in Seattle last year, and they have football tables everywhere because there are a lot of European employees. Yeah. They have things like darts boards and other basketball hoops and things that you can play with. Have you gone that far? I mean, is it that sort of environment?
No, I wouldn't say so. The example is one of my
friends. Because I was going to apply for a job, actually.
One of my friends is a director at Google, and actually they go as far as paying for their meals, 3 meals a day. Yeah, so yeah. And the employees will go out, as you say, and play basketball. We have a...
That's sort of tantamount to putting a free chain and ball on your ankle, isn't it?
Yeah. We have I think we have a good office vibe. You know, with tech developers, they need the ability to have some creativity and maybe a different working environment I'm used to with salespeople.
Are you making a rod for your own back, though? Everyone gets used to having Alvin the barista in the corner. The property market gets tight. I mean, have you now ended up in a situation where there would be a small riot if the barista was to go in order to save costs?
You know, I think there's As I say, I think if you're factoring, if you're looking at the overall package of the employees, and you have to remember, if you divide it over the hundreds of employees we have, it's still a relatively low overhead. But as you are highlighting today, a pretty good perk for the employees. So I'm not privileged enough to say if he would stay or go at any point, but I'm pretty sure our CEO would be, he'd be one of the last people.
What is the absolute measure, though, for the success of the operation in terms of having a barista on site?
Well, I don't think, if I'm completely honest, I don't think we necessarily measure our commercial strategies and successes against and put a return on investment on the barista, because there are a lot of things within business that is unmeasurable, and that's probably one of them. But I'm certainly enjoying my coffee in the morning, and I would be the first one on the picket line if Alvin did go.
I think Alvin should get share options. Chris Shoetrips is the managing director of Mortgage Finder.
The Business Breakfast Nightcap
on Dubai Eye 103.8.
Good evening. You're listening to the Business Breakfast Nightcap. I'm Brandy Scott.
Way down among Brazilians, coffee beans grow by the billions, so they've got to find those extra cups to fill. They've got an awful lot of coffee in Brazil.
But is it your boss's job to keep your cup full? That's the question this morning. And I tell you what, a serious one as well. We're talking about whether or not posh coffee at work should be on the agenda, or whether or not it's just a fancy perk and we should all get over ourselves. This has come from no less than the Financial Times, who are now calling fancy coffee a must-have office perk. They reckon that we're all so used to better mainstream coffee that we expect barista-made lattes at work.
Is it because of popular demand, or is it to try and sort of shackle people to the desk longer?
Now, you see, that's always my suspicion, and there is the research to back this up. A lot of big companies in the UK doing this at the moment. Goldman Sachs, they've built a new City of London headquarters. They have a coffee bar on every floor, and on the sixth floor there is, and I quote, a curation of the very best specialty coffees, from delicious mainstay espresso brands to regularly rotating single origin coffees, unquote.
So they've got at least six baristas, depending how many floors they've got.
Exactly. Google,
I suppose they've got their own changing room, an own little place where they go and have a coffee.
Google is doing the
tough in the office today.
A lot of people saying it works on numerous levels. It is a retention tool. You know Glassdoor, the website that you can go to if you've got a job interview, it will tell you the kind of questions you're likely to be asked, what it's really like to work there. They have found that a lot of people who leave a company like Google that's had proper coffee will say, you know, really miss the coffee shop after I've left. Lovely barista. Quite miss it. And that's what people are judging a lot of. I mean, it's not the only reason you take a job, obviously, but if it becomes standard, you notice when it's not there.
Just sidetracking for a second, when you've done those job interviews and they ask you, what's your greatest weakness, what do you say? I've always flustered at that one. Never know what to say. What do you see as your greatest weakness?
You either say that I'm a bit of a perfectionist
or I work too hard.
I struggle to delegate.
One of those.
Do you know the new question is not the new, you know, everyone always asks it, tough to give the right answer question, is actually, what does your best day look like? That apparently is the killer question that's coming out of job interviews while we're
got to be salary day, hasn't
diverting.
It? It's got to be salary day.
End of the month, Thursday particularly, about 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
But I'm not alone in wondering about the coffee and why people, whether we actually need that as a perk. Should you be giving that coffee? Surely that's something that people bring to work themselves. And then Lindsay has, we've spoken to her as well. She says she's also surprised that so many people step out of the office for coffee.
Well, I'm quite surprised with the increase of food deliveries that people are still going out for coffees. It seems to me like most people are ordering their coffees into the office now. So I'm surprised to hear that baristas are being considered for that reason.
Well, so here's the thing. It works on a number of levels. There are studies coming out of the UK that show that anyone who drinks two cups or more is likely to stay for an extra hour at work, so you get more out of them. There are studies coming out of Hong Kong saying that if you provide really good coffee in the workplace, people come out of meetings happier. They feel that there's more of a group collaboration in those meetings where good coffee is served than when it's not. And it might sound frivolous, but if you're spending 8 hours a day in a building, things like a fridge full of free Coke or a barista or whatever it happens to be makes a difference.
Do you know what? We've talked quite a bit on the show about the smokers and how many times they go down, how long it takes them to go down the lift, have the cigarette and then come back up again, that everybody else doesn't get that time off. Somebody was saying the other day, weren't they, that in some companies, non-smokers will get an extra week's holiday because they reckon that's what the smokers spend outside the building.
Wouldn't you rather spend it in Mauritius,
well,
I ask you?
Yeah, well, exactly. I've got a picture here of Dubai International Airport, Dubai World Central, and they have a smoking booth, a little sort of glass box, a smoking cube, if you like. Maybe you could put those in the office as well to save people going downstairs.
A lot of airports have them to keep the smoke contained.
I don't know whether for sort of health and safety reasons, whether you can have them in an office quite as much.
Maybe you just put the employees you don't like in there. Naveen's been in touch with us. He says sort of measuring productivity, how many times people nip out for a fag or coffee, whatever it happens to be, shouldn't matter as long as you get your work done.
So we've just opened a brand new tower downtown, and it's a beautiful building. We've got lots of amenities, and we've got like coffee shops, standard coffee in every single floor in our pantries. We also have two coffee shops that are in the building, but people still do, you know, have their own preferences, and they still do like to go out for a coffee break and have a walk around and a chat. I think it's a good idea to offer employees options. But, you know, at the end of the day, we work flexibly. So nobody's really looking at, you know, who's on their desk, who's going for cigarette breaks or coffee breaks. I don't think that in this day and age, it shouldn't even be a conversation about hours of productivity. I think everyone takes responsibility for their own work and just gets it done when they need to.
It's a very modern way of looking at things.
But, and it is the dream, isn't it? But it's one of those things. And I thought that, you know, hearing about the property finder barista, I thought, oh, but that's, you know, that's new, that's quirky, that's different. But we're also hearing from quite a few people saying, do you know what? You know, Mavis got in touch. She said that her husband's company, 60 people, one of those employees is a barista. And there's a lot of people defending their coffee habits and the time they take to fill them this morning. Amar's been in touch. He says that his coffee habit just makes him more productive.
Yeah, in our office, we have a big machine of coffee with 12 different types, from espresso to cappuccino and all these types. For me, every half an hour before the lunch break, I will have a full mug of coffee. That will make me concentrating for sure. And yes, everybody in the office who take a lot of coffee, we stay and work a little bit later than normal.
Which backs up the British findings. It might not sound like much. Ria's been in touch with us on Twitter to say, look, I totally agree. Having a nice coffee machine, you know, you've got all the teas on the side and the accompaniments, honestly makes all the difference. Ria says at our office, folks are taking informal meetings by that coffee machine. You know, people, they have gotten co-workers from Turkey who bring in their own coffee that they share with the expats. In a soft environment particularly, it can be the small things that you do that make employees happy. If you're not necessarily giving up bonuses or you're not giving up pay rises, whatever it happens to be, keeping people happy is a biggie.
Look, I recognise that I'm a very simple soul, but I'm still happy with the kettle with the dodgy on-off switch and a few granules of Nescafe.
Thanks for listening. Malks and I will be back Sunday morning, 6 a.m.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.